If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. I'm so excited that you're here today. And if you have ever felt like the job market is like a jungle and not a clear path, then today's episode is for you. Because we're going to be diving into the world of job searching, with a focus on staying motivated, finding clarity, and keeping that so important momentum, even when things get tough. So whether you're hunting for your next opportunity or you're just trying to figure out your next move, this conversation is going to be packed with insights that will help you navigate that whole job market madness. Joining me today is my dear friend, Phil Davis. He's a career coach who is inspiring and helping people find clarity and confidence in their careers, in business and in life. He founded Fulfillment Solutions to build transformative relationships and connect invigorated mid and senior level career professionals and dynamic employers. Directing passion for harmony into bringing people together and helping greatness grow, Fulfillment utilizes a highly personalized collaborative tune-in process to help their unique customers reach ever-evolving goals. Let's get started. Welcome, Phil. So excited to have you.
Hey there. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me, friend. And I'm excited. We're able to make this happen today for folks. So,
yes, super excited. So before we dive deep into the job market and really untangle what can help in this job market, especially the 2024 market has been really difficult, right?
Yeah.
I always love to start off by understanding your Sprecher type, if you are open to that.
Yeah,
and
let's do it.
Talking about that for a moment so that people who can really understand of how we ourselves have been able to align our work with what makes us come alive. And then we're going to dive into how that can help others find jobs in today's market. So Phil, I had you take the Sprecher type assessment. Was that the first time you took it?
Very first time. Yep.
So your primary Sprecher type, and your primary. So if for any of our listeners who are unfamiliar with the Sprecher type assessment, it is free. It's a free 10-minute assessment, and it helps us identify that work that makes us come alive. You can take that on sprechertype.com. And for Phil, his primary Sprecher type, which is the strongest impulse for work that makes you feel excited, inspired, and on purpose, is the advisor. Yep. Advisors are all about guiding to grow, and it's the work of coaching, mentoring, advising that fills you like nothing else. And often the satisfaction you feel comes from walking beside others and being with and guiding them along as they move forward toward their desired outcomes. Did that resonate with you?
1,000%. I mean, obviously, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's no surprise. I can always see that in you. You do your work because you truly care about the people that you work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. As a career coach, you obviously have lots of opportunities to lean into that impulse and coach and mentor and guide. Did you feel similarly in roles where you were recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming from the HR recruiting space for a number of years, I'd say for me, you know, I organically, like most of us in the HR recruiting space, most of us have landed, we've kind of fell into it, right? We landed into those career opportunities. And I was very blessed, I would say, to be able to start from the ground up and get into like an HR generalist role in my first kind of career in a TV network. And in that role, I had a really, really good manager, and he really helped define the foundation of HR, but also the importance of employee development, right? Because if people got into the organization, some of them wanted to get promoted into higher level roles. Other people may have wanted to move into different departments, or some folks wanted to end up working at the company for a little while and then moving on to another career opportunity and trying something different. And so from the get-go all the way to, you know, now doing career coaching and some recruiting consulting, there's that aspect of talent development within the scope of my services, but more importantly, just within my natural passion for just helping other people succeed. Because at the end of the day, I think as, you know, a career coach, recruiting professional, what have you, it's all about others. It's not about self, right? Because if our people can be successful and we can help them navigate the turbulence or the waves of a job search and how crazy it is and how unprecedented it is now in 24, right? And the waters are kind of rough. We're there along the path, right? And there may be some days too, and I want to stress this as well, like a job search isn't always going to be, you know, rainbows and roses and positive, right? There's going to be negative, you know, troughs in the waves. There are going to be negative emotions that come up, but there are ways where we can really focus on regaining that positive mindset to really make sure that we're being very proactive in our job search versus negative and reactive. So,
and you said that so beautiful, that it's really about walking alongside them and guiding them through the ups and downs. And in the end, it's their win is your win. It's about them.
Yep.
Yeah. And I can see in your eyes how you come alive when you talk about doing the work of coaching, mentoring, advising. And when you get to do that work that fills you up so deep inside of you, it is truly the best thing in the world.
And you said it right there. That fills me up, right?
Yeah.
I had to do it. So. But it's true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, and you know this being a coach as well, you know, if the work that we're doing fills us up, then, you know, behaviors are contagious, right? So if we're feeling good about what we do and what we're how we're impacting and adding value, right, then it will spread on to other people. And so as part of, you know, helping my clients and helping, you know, job seekers, career professionals, you know, clients on their journey, wherever they are in that journey, right? If we're able to help define their value and their impact, because again, and I say this all the time, we all have value and we all have impact. And when we're able to like discover and really tune into that value and that impact that we have, right? If there's an accomplishment that we did in our career a while ago that we may have forgotten that we want to kind of bring back and rehash on the resume or on somebody's LinkedIn page, it makes them feel alive. It makes them feel good, right? Because they're like, oh yeah, that's right. I did that one thing at that one company that's relevant to the role that I'm looking at. Huh. I may want to share that out there or talk about it in an interview. So yeah, absolutely.
It's about building others up and lifting them up and seeing their potential, them seeing their own potential and then others seeing it as well.
Yep.
And if it's a Spryker type assessment, you also get a shadow Spryker type. And in your case, that's the essentialist. And a lot of times our shadow Spryker type is work that we do in order to do the work of our primary at a higher level. And we both share the essentialist as a shadow Spryker type. I have the same. So our essentialist impulse is all about creating order, distillation, simplification, and clarity. And it's often thinking in systems and processes. And when we see chaos, mess, complexity, or a lack of organization, it triggers that innate urge to create order and simplicity. Oh my God, that's so me. As an essentialist, we develop, sustain, and evolve processes and system in a way that brings harmony, organization, spaciousness, and clarity, and fosters insight that can help focus energy and attention. Does that resonate with you as well?
Yeah, definitely. So when they say shadow, like, because when I took the assessment and it said shadow, like Spryker type, just to make sure I understand, right?
Yeah.
So like the shadow is it's something that we're good at, but it's something that's not like, I don't want to say like negative, but something that's like, all right, we'll do it if we have to do it. But it's like kind of, is that like kind
that
of
right-ish? That is the anti. The anti is more the draining. So the shadow is one that we're really good at, but it doesn't give us the same level of fulfillment as our primary. So in my example, my primary is the scientist. I love figuring things out, solving problems. That makes me come alive. The essentialist, creating order out of chaos, I'm really good at it. In my work, like, right, you know, there's an overwhelming amount of information that goes into job market, job search, all that. And I love putting that into a process, system, organized way for people to digest that. And that creating order, I'm really good at, but it doesn't give me the same level of fulfillment like my primary when I figure out things and solve problems. So in your case, the assessment is suggesting that you're probably really good at creating order and systems and processes, but you might use that order, that process, that system in order to guide and advise and mentor others and help them grow. Does that resonate?
Yes, exactly. That makes more sense now. Yes, absolutely. I definitely like order. I definitely like structure. And it's like, I like routine, right? So like waking up in the morning, the very first thing I have to do is brush my teeth, right? Like I have a set ritual process that I have to do in order to get to that primary spark type, you know, that advisor state. Because it's like, we've talked about this before on separate conversations. You know, for me, if I'm in client calls or I'm in like networking meetings, I want to feel 100%, you know, myself before I have those conversations. So if I'm not 100% or I feel drained out, I'll tell those folks like, hey, I want to reschedule because I need to just get myself back to a place where I am my fill or my full self, right? And that I feel good so that when I have the energy, you know, that I'm having now and stuff like that, you know, I feel good about what I do, you know, in that moment with people. Yeah. Exactly.
That's amazing. So it's really having that organization, that order, and your processes and routines really help you do the best work that you can and help your clients.
Yeah. And I think that really speaks to my tuned into framework that I have, right? So like, you know, I'll say it just because, I mean, we've talked about this before outside of lives and conversations. You know, there are a ton of coaches out there, right? There are a lot of career coaches. There are a lot of life coaches. You know, there are a lot of business coaches, you know, all sorts of different coaches on LinkedIn, off LinkedIn, what have you, right? And I think what's important is, especially kind of coming with that process oriented background that I have, I was able to create that tune into framework with fulfillment. So coming from an opera singing background, I studied music in college. I wanted to come up with a unique process that kind of brings the pun of music into fruition, right? Within the framework. So every letter of tune and every letter of into is a step, an 8-step process that I'm able to help those clients to obtain, which is the last step, career fulfillment, right? And again, fulfillment for people, it's different for everybody. So that's why I was really happy to take the Sparkotype, you know, with you and to really learn about it, even now, even learn more about what it's all about, because everybody's different and everybody's unique, right? Yeah. So.
And that fulfillment, there's a lot of pieces that go into fulfillment. And I see that with my clients on their journey as well. But one piece is always doing the work that really energizes you. And if you wouldn't get to coach, mentor, guide others, if that wouldn't be part of your day-to-day work, there would probably be something missing. And I feel like a lot of clients, they feel like there's something missing, but they can't put their finger to it. But then the Sparkotype profile and really taking that apart and diving deeper helps them to figure out what's that missing piece and then explore opportunities. How can I shift my career in a way where I'm not starting over, but can incorporate more of the things that make me come alive and possibly less of what drains me, and then find fulfillment that way.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because, you know, fulfillment is a process, right? Like it doesn't, I think there's this perception out there and it's not bad because we're, you know, we're all human, but there's this human element of we want something right now. Like we want it now. We want it now. We want it now. We want to have the results right now, or we want to have the results yesterday. On the recruiting side, right? You hear when I talk to companies, and I know you know this because you've come from the same background as well. When we talk to a hiring manager, they're like, oh, well, we needed this role filled yesterday. And it's like, but you didn't tell me what you needed or what requirements you need for the position or like, what are your 3 must-haves for the role, right? So it's a process, but you know, to find fulfillment, like when you get to that career fulfillment or when you finally receive the career clarity that you have, especially I'm sure with your clients, when they start to feel alive and they're very clear on what they want to do next, right? They get that sense of joy and it's a process, but the process doesn't have to be negative. I think you know, in my little introductory online course that I created a little while ago, I think we can agree too, a lot of just the navigating this tumultuous, like crazy job search, like right now in time that we're all going through is, it really starts with your mindset, right? Like if you go into it with a negative mindset, right, you're going to kind of be tired. You're going to maybe feel burned out, even if you're not doing stuff, right? You may feel just a sense of like unmotivation or, oh, like I really don't want to do anything today, you know, and that's okay. There, it's important to have days to just rest, right, and take breaks. But if we really start to do things that make us positive, I always tell people, like, don't job search 24/7, 365. Find little times in between. Take breaks, right? Take days off if you need to. I like to go walk outside with our dog Grace, you know, during the day, just to even if it's a 5-10 minute walk, just to get away, and then come back to it and say, you know what, I'm refreshed, I'm ready to go. Because when you have that positive mindset, then you can start really focusing on clarity within your career, right? Like, what do you want to do next? What role, what company, right? What manager, what elements, you know, what are you looking for in those three areas, right? What are you looking for in those three areas now? But then where do you see yourself going for the long haul? And yeah. It's a process. It's a process. But it's exciting process. And you've got to embrace the journey. So,
yeah. And you're right. The clarity piece, you do need space, mental space for it. I find it to be that people who are really have a really difficult time in their current at work right now, and they're so immersed into doing this all time, all day, every day, and it saps the energy, maybe on their way to burnout. It's really hard to think outside of that and see opportunities or possibilities. So I also, in my coaching program, similar to yours, is it's really creating that space that allows you to think what's possible outside of what your status quo is in your brain of like what you go through every day. And that's often things you don't even think about, that you didn't even know about, that aren't real possibilities for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, you know, I mean, there have been studies and studies and studies out there. There's one on my introductory course that Queen's University, they did like a study, and it's kind of like a thought, they call it thought worms, which is basically like different thoughts that we have throughout the day. And of course, the human brain, there's like millions and millions of thoughts that we process daily. Some of them are conscious, others are subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just trying to like hone in on consciously what we need to do or what we want to do as well for the day, as far as what tasks do we want to get done? What kind of things in our job search do we want to accomplish for the day, for the week, you know, for the month, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's for both of us where the essentialist comes in. Like for my clients, I do have a checklist of, okay, when you spend time in your job search, this is the checklist I want you to work through. So your time is used very efficiently and effectively, because scrolling hours and hours on job boards is not going to land you a job. We already know that. So how can we use that time? And I think that's where so many people get stuck, scrolling job boards, applying online, which does not work for the majority in this job market. It's a part of the job search, but it just can't be that energy zap that you do all day, every day, and then have your energy drained. It's much more effective to have a schedule that is realistic, where you give yourself time to recharge and take breaks. And then when you work on your job search, to be really efficient and effective with what you're doing.
Absolutely. And just even having like smart goal setting, right? Specific, I got to spell it, specific, measurable, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable.
Action-oriented.
Yep. Realistic and time-bound. There we go. Yeah. There we go. You know, having smart goals within the process. Realistic though, I resonate with that when you said realistic goals, because you don't want to have a goal that's impossible. Like, oh, I want a job tomorrow, right? Like, right. It may not happen tomorrow, right? So then what are we going to do if it doesn't happen tomorrow? Oh, we're going to get negative. Oh, we're going to be like, man, like doggone it. Like, I'm not here, you know? So definitely, you know, think of realistic goals that you can achieve. And those goals don't have to be so high level either. Like, oh, I want to get a job next week, right? Think of something like very specific within the search. Like, hey, I want to apply to 5 different roles today. And if you achieve that today, guess what? You hit your goal. You made it happen. If you got 6, then guess what? You overachieved, right? Yeah. Go out and get your favorite dessert or something when you, when you've achieved your goal, or, you know, do something, do a hobby that you want to do at the end, you know? So, but yeah.
100% agree. So I've got to ask, with you coming from a recruiter background, what's the biggest thing you wish candidates would know from wearing your recruiter hat?
Ooh, this is a good one. Wow, this is a very good one. Very, very good one. What would I wish candidates to know? I think the biggest one, and I say this very transparently, I think the biggest one is when you reach out to recruiters, really be clear about what it is you are wanting to pursue. So for example, if there's a company that you want to apply to, and there's maybe an active job posting that you see on LinkedIn or on another job board or a job platform, you know, or a careers page, directly apply to that position first, and then try to find that recruiter or that hiring manager to let them know, hey, I applied to this position, I'm very interested in this opportunity, and explain to them why you're interested in the role, right? But then also too, share your value. I think recruiters out there, a lot of the good recruiters, the ones I know in my network, you included, a lot of really, really, really good recruiters I know, they want to see your value. They want to see and hear what you can bring to the table. And I think the sooner you can mention that up front, whether that's in an interview, whether that's on a LinkedIn message, you know, whether it be an audio message or a text message or something like that, share your value. I have in my introductory course, and I wanted to mention this because I think it relates to this question, I call it a 4S approach. And when it kind of speaks to your value, you know, set the tone, right? So really make sure when you're reaching out to those recruiters, set the tone in the discussion, right? Be very clear and concise and direct as to what you want with, you know, with that discussion and why. Share your story, like I said, share your value, show your accomplishments. That's the other one. And then being an opera singer, right? Sing it out, right? Mm-hmm. So make sure that, you know, you share your story, set the tone, show your accomplishments, and sing it out to those recruiters, and be very direct to them. Because they get messages all the time, numerous messages, and unfortunately, we can't respond to every single one. So you want to try to stand out and let them know how you're going to help them and add value to them.
That's such great advice. And when I work with my clients, we always start with the question when we're looking at a specific job posting, what's the problem you're going to solve in this role? Why are they hiring? What problem are they trying to solve? And then be the person, if obviously we want to be authentic, but if the problem is to expand market reach in that role, that's the core problem to solve, then everything you want to share with a recruiter is showing how you're the ideal person to do that. What sets you apart from others? How have you done that in the past? But being very specific and not throwing the kitchen sink at them, where the recruiter has to like figure out what is relevant and what isn't relevant, but being clear and concise, like, okay, I know this is the problem you're trying to solve, and here is on a silver platter why I can do that for you.
And you said it right there, right? Like every job description that is active, right? Every position that's out there. Well, let me back up. Most companies, I won't say all of them, but most companies, the companies I've worked at, I've been, again, very blessed to work with really, really good companies with really, really good recruitment departments, companies where I've built recruiting departments from ground up, and organizations where I've been led to recruit and to learn as much as I could. But the majority of companies out there, when they post an active posting, they're going to clearly define what they need, right? What they need, which are those requirements, the actual requirements of the position and the basic qualifications that they're looking for, and then preferred qualifications or their want to haves or their nice to haves, right? And typically at the beginning of the job description, a really good effective job description should have, and this is, I'm kind of putting my employer branding recruitment marketing hat on here for a second, but at the very top of a job description, you should, like we say on LinkedIn content all the time, have an attention grabber, have a hook, right? So where people will want to read more. Yeah. Same with a resume, right? Start with a grabber at the top, and then, you know, have the recruiters and the hiring managers want to read your resume, right?
Yes.
Make sure that, you know, companies out there that have a good hook, they'll define in the beginning from the get-go what their challenges are and why the role's open and that kind of stuff. And I think more companies need to continue to do that. And some of them need to start doing that, because it's important. And if you don't quite know why the role's open or what the company's doing with the role, and if you get an interview with them, ask them, right? Ask the hiring manager, hey, why is the role open? Is it a backfill? Is it a newly created position? Is it an incremental role? And where do you see the role going for, you know, the next 5, 10, you know, short term and long term? So
those are great questions to ask. And we just had another good question coming in here in the chat.
Yeah.
Do you feel like email may be a better way to reach out to recruiters if they're receiving tons of LinkedIn messages? I think let's go with both our takes on it. You get started, Phil.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I'm hyper active on LinkedIn and email. So like I'm pretty quick about getting back to people. So for me personally, I don't necessarily care. What I typically tell folks, if you're trying to connect with somebody on LinkedIn or like a recruiter or a hiring manager, and you've reached out to them and you've given them your pitch, your value, hey, I've applied to the role, yada, 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 and they haven't responded in, you know, a day or two, I would say, you know, do a general check-in message, right? Bring that inbox up to the top. You know, try a couple times to check in with them. Don't overextend and be like, hey, I'm here, you know, and reach out like every single day, right? Give them a couple days, let them see what's going on. And if you hadn't heard back, yeah, maybe send them an email. What I typically like to do is if I'm sending a recruiter or a hiring manager an email and I'm kind of an outside person. So if I'm looking at company A for a recruiting manager role, right? And I want to email the hiring manager, but I have no idea what their email is. I'll check and see if I can get it from an internal resource, maybe that works at the company, and then send that email out to that recruiter and say, hey, I'm Philip Davis, you know, yada, yada, yada. I received your email from X employee at your company. So that way they know, hey, I got, you know, your information from a colleague that you work with, so that they're not kind of caught off guard, if you will. But I mean, yeah, email's fine. Just so long as I think you do it in that kind of way. That's what I would say. Yeah,
I'm on the same page here, Phil. What I, the process I have all my clients follow is when you, after you apply to a role, you right away send a message to the recruiter and hiring manager. And I always include the hiring manager because recruiters can tend to get overloaded on messages. So the hiring manager, and the hiring manager is going to be the one who make the decision at the end. So you want to build rapport and a connection and a relationship with the hiring manager. So you reach out to both of them right after you apply. And I do that on LinkedIn first with a connection request. If they accept the connection request, then with a message explaining. The connection request just has 300 characters. So you really need that follow-up message to show your value and why they want to be interested in you as a candidate.
Exactly.
And if you don't get a reply within 3 days, you don't get your connection request accepted in 3 days or not a reply to your message in 3 days, then we shift to email. And I actually also use email finders, online email finders. And I started similar, obviously, if you can say you've got the email address from EBNC, perfect. But my message is generally, I tried reaching out through LinkedIn recently and wasn't sure if my message found its way to you. I recently applied for the job title role at so-and-so company, and I'm excited about the opportunity to contribute to your team.
Absolutely.
So to let them know that you had that LinkedIn outreach, but especially when we also reach out to hiring managers, recruiters tend to live on LinkedIn and they get a lot of messages. They might not respond to everyone, but recruiters generally see things going on LinkedIn. Hiring managers, some are active on LinkedIn and others haven't checked LinkedIn in the last 5 years. So in that case, you really need to shift to emails to make sure your message gets through to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is too, I mean, again, recruiters and hiring managers, folks that have LinkedIn, I also think too, and I say this also as a, you know, for the job seekers out there, make sure on your LinkedIn profile too, that you have contact information. If you want people to reach out to you, recruiters and hiring managers, have your contact information be easily accessible. And, you know, I think one important thing, and I know a couple of our recruiter colleagues have said this before, and I think it's wonderful advice. I'm kind of just paying it forward. But a couple friends that we both know, Teresa, in the recruiting world, they say, you know, if you have like a personal email and it gets a lot of like spam emails and stuff, create a new email address solely for job seeking, right? Create a new phone number. If you've got like a Google phone number or I think there's some phone apps where you can kind of create like a separate phone number that's tied into your cell carrier or something like that. Create a different number. So that way when recruiters or hiring managers either email you or, you know, call or text you, you know it's job related, right? So you can immediately kind of reach out and be available as well.
100%. That's such a great idea. And yeah, I have that. I work with my clients, especially when we get into the heavy networking phase of the job search, to have the separate email address and have a dedicated address that you just check for your job search and application.
Absolutely.
And it makes things easy to keep track of things and stay organized.
It does. And that way, you know, when you get that call, you get that email and you know it's kind of job related, you're like, oh my gosh. Because the thing is, right, like I think what's incredibly important too, and this is one thing that I ingrain in people, whether it be clients or not, right? If they reach out to you, and we've talked about this before, like celebrating the wins, both big and small, if somebody reaches out to you and they want to talk to you or have an interview with you or a conversation, that means somewhere on your LinkedIn, on your resume, on your career portfolio, website, whatever, right? That recruiter or that hiring manager sees something there that sparked their interest about you and your value. So if they reach out, oh my gosh, like they want to talk to me, like I'm wanted. Somebody wants me for my value. Like that's huge. That is huge. I don't think a lot of people recognize that enough as a win, but I think all of us, me included, I'm guilty as charged. You know, I get a call. It's like, oh, let's talk. I'm like, oh, okay. I got a call. No, oh my gosh, I got a call. Like we need to really, be more oomph about that. So
someone saw your value and wants their value potentially on their team. That's huge.
Absolutely.
Yes. Celebrating those wins along the way is so important.
Absolutely.
And I want to get to one more question before we wrap up for today. So
Absolutely.
The question coming through is, any best practices to find hiring manager or recruiters if they're not in the application on LinkedIn? Sometimes it's a little tricky to find it in large companies.
So that's a really good question.
That's one of the funnest things in my job that I get to do is to do that research. Yeah, I'm a scientist. I love figuring things out.
Yes.
I could spend all day on LinkedIn and trying to figure out who the hiring manager is.
Yes.
But the best thing to do is to go to the company's LinkedIn page. So type in the company name and then search by companies, go to their LinkedIn profile page. And then the people tab. Now you have a list of all people who work at that company. Now, if you're familiar with ChatGPT, which hopefully everyone is by now, you can go into ChatGPT and say, I'm applying for ABC role at XYZ company. What is the most likely title the hiring manager has? And then ChatGPT will spit out three titles probably that are likely to be the title of the hiring manager. You type those into the search bar on LinkedIn on the company page for people and find the closest person. You don't have to find the perfect person, just the closest one. And you send them a message. And then if they are not the right person, you just add a PS in there and say, if by any chance you're not the person overseeing hiring for this and this role, I would greatly appreciate your help in guiding me to the correct contact. So don't waste hours and hours trying to find the perfect person. Just find someone who is close enough, send them a message, and have them help you find the right person. What
Absolutely.
Is your take on it, Phil?
Yeah, I'm in alignment. I mean, I think, getting to it as close as possible is key for sure. Yeah, good idea. Absolutely, yeah. And I think, too, I take it a step further. I think the other thing, too, that this is not so much around trying to find a recruiter, but you know, this is another thing too that that folks should do more of, right? If there's a company that you're interested in and they have a LinkedIn page, not only follow that company page, but go to their posts, right? If you click on their post tab and start engaging, right, in some of the posts that they have. So for example, if there's something that resonates with you, like maybe they share their company values on a post next week. Oh, we have integrity. And if that resonates with you, like make a comment on that, right? Share why it resonates with you. Because I'm telling you, either a recruitment marketing team or somebody in marketing and communications is managing or monitoring that LinkedIn page. So if you're able to tell them, you know, kind of show yourself out there on those company pages too, you'll also get some visibility there. And that's just another icebreaker and conversation starter too. So if you do find somebody like a hiring manager or recruiter that you want to try to connect with and say, hey, I applied to this position. I'm not sure if you're the appropriate hiring manager or recruiter for the role. But if you could, if you're not, I'd love for you to help me if possible. And then put in there, P.S. Hey, I saw that you have a new core value integrity at your company. That's amazing. I resonate with this. Just a little bit extra, right? So that that way they'll see that you're looking at their company. You've done some research and, you know, you kind of resonate with what they're doing as well. So.
And on LinkedIn recruiters, recruiters even see if a candidate has interacted with their company before. So liking the post, commenting is huge. So anything you can do to really show interest in their company and their mission, their values, all that helps you stand out as a candidate.
1,000%.
So Phil, as we're drawing to a close here, where can listeners connect with you and learn more about your work?
Oh, that's a really hard question. I'm just kidding. No, I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit during the week. I am fully offline on the weekends. I used to be on LinkedIn on the weekends. I don't do that anymore. I take time for family. And again, that's so important. Take time away, right? My time away is on the weekends with my wife, with our dog Grace, with our family, all that good stuff. But people can find me here, linkedin.com/in/Phil the Recruiter. What I should do eventually is with my URL, I should probably do linkedin.com/in/fulfillment. So that way, if people type in fulfillment, they can find me easier on my LinkedIn page. I'll do that later though. But yeah, I'm there on LinkedIn. You know, during the week, I'm here all the time. So you can send me a message. I'll get back to you quickly. My website, www.fulfillment.com. So I mentioned this earlier. I have a free job search online course that's on there. It's about a 25-minute video where you can watch and kind of get some quick value tips and tricks up there if you're kind of stuck in your job search. I created that to help folks out there. But if you just go to my website, there's a free job search link on the top of my screen on the right side. You can click that and access that there. But anything where fulfillment spelled that way is out there, you search for it on Google, I'll pop up. So
that is amazing, Phil. I highly recommend. If you are not following Phil on LinkedIn yet, you absolutely have to make sure that you connect with him on LinkedIn. And his course, I've heard such great things about, your mini course, and it's free. So it's really a no-brainer to jump over to fulfillment.com and take that free online course that you have available for job seekers out there.
I appreciate you, friend. And what about you? Like, what interesting things do you have going on in your world as well?
Oh,
I'm curious because I haven't talked to you in a while. So I'm also curious, like, what you've got going on your way.
I am so glad that you asked. And I'm bringing one of my favorite events back. It's my masterclass, Start Your Career Change in 3 Simple Steps. It is a free live masterclass that I am going to be hosting in September. So the first one is going to be September, actually check my calendar here, September 17th, September 19th, and September 24th. I'm hosting it 3 times. Have had incredible feedback in the past. And I'm really breaking down the simple steps that you need to take to make a successful career change. So if you want to grab a spot before it fills up, you want to head over to careerbloomcoaching.com/masterclass. So careerbloomcoaching.com/masterclass is where you can grab a seat in my free masterclass. So whether you're feeling stuck or need some direction, that class is really designed to help you identify your strengths and then turn your existing experience into a career you love, because we don't want to start over. And I'm going to walk you through how you can position yourself for success in a job search or a career change. And if you can't make it live, still register, because there will be a replay available and it will be sent to your inbox. So those are my exciting news coming up.
I'm glad you're bringing it back, because I know last year when you did it, it was, you had a lot of huge success. So I'm really, really glad you're bringing that back as a, bringing it back as a refresher for sure. And to get other folks to definitely access it. But folks, please, like, register for this. Like, if you need that clarity, like I'm telling you, Teresa is the one to access. I do a little bit of clarity in my coaching, but you want somebody that can really help you with some clarity in your career, Teresa's the one. So please,
thank you.
Please access.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
And just to throw it out there, since this year I have a 30-day guarantee in my coaching program. So anyone who works with me, it's career clarity in 30 days or they get their money back. So it's a guarantee that you have career clarity and confidently know what your next step is within 30 days. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that in the masterclass as well, when we dive into how to gain career clarity, how to figure out what you truly want to do, and how to actually make that a reality for you. Because I'm not just about dreaming up the ideal job. If we then don't put it into action, it's all about, okay, what do we want? And then how do we make it happen?
Mindset to clarity, clarity to action, action to results. That's kind of, that's also in my little free online course. So you can't act without clarity. So, you know, definitely if you need help with clarity,
yeah,
Teresa will help you. For sure.
Clarity is the foundation of everything. If you don't even know where you want to go, it's going to be impossible to get there. So start with clarity and then the domino pieces will fall into place. And if you need help with that, definitely register for the masterclass, Start Your Career Change in 3 Simple Steps. And that is it for today's episode with Phil Davis. I hope that everyone is walking away with fresh insights, inspiration, practical tips to keep moving forward in your job search. And if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure that you follow me on LinkedIn, Teresa A. White, so you don't miss next week's episode for Career Clarity Unlocked. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you next time.